fourth stanza of page 40. Page 18, excuse me, the fourth stanza of page 18. Thank you. Let's do the second and the fourth stanza. Let's start with the second stanza. I'm going on, I'm going to last, no matter what I've done in the past. I will march on, the battle to win. I'm holding on until my journey's in. Don't you give up, don't you give out, for God supplies and there is no doubt. Don't you give in to Satan and sin. Keep holding on until my journey's in. Third stanza. I've come too far to turn around. I'm climbing up and I can't come down. God as my guide, with Christ as my friend, I'm holding on until my journey's end.
Thank you, Brother Hall. Thank you, church. I was a little late getting up. I missed a cue this morning. But that's okay. I made it up here, and you all, I'm so glad to see you made it in this morning. You know, many people are using the day as an excuse to not come to church. It's too snowy. Well, it's going to be snow tomorrow, too. What are you going to do? So we can't not serve God because he sent inclement weather. It's his weather to send and ours to enjoy or accept. But whether you accept it or not, it is his. I'm so glad this morning to see all of you. I'm glad that you did make it out and that everything is going as well as it can be expected with most of you, if not all of you. We're praying this morning for everybody in general, but we're going to pray specifically for a few this morning. Let us go to God in prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, blessed is your name, O Lord. We're so thankful that you lengthen out our lives to give us this opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We thank you this morning for our leaders. We thank you for their families. We thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their family members. We thank you for each and every member in here today. We thank you and we are praying for the sick and the shut in. We're praying about those who are not with us today that they may have find peace and strength to return to us at the next appointed time. We're praying for those who may be tripping and traveling today. We're just praying that you give them safe passage to wherever they may be going and then return them safely back to us again. We're praying, O Heavenly Father, that your will might be done in our services today, that we may do things decently and in order. And we pray that it is accepted by you. Thank you, Father, and we pray for our politicians, those who serve in our governmental bodies, that they just remember to do the right thing and to put people first and not their interests themselves. We're praying for the soldiers and the troops who stand guard all around the world that we may have a right to freedom in our hometowns as they serve in faraway towns. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray and ask you to be with this church this morning, especially this congregation. For, Father, we are trying to serve thee in spirit and in truth. And I thank you, O Lord. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we might have this right once again. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. Please, Lord, be with us now. Watch over and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Let the church say, amen. This morning, God is good. And all the time, God is good. This morning, we're going to speak for a few minutes. Brother Hill, what time is the Super Bowl?
7 o'clock.
Well, we got time to hear this morning, don't we? All right. So we're going to talk for a little while about what to ask of God when you don't know what you need. What to ask of God when you don't know what you need. The book of Proverbs speaks a lot about wisdom. I like what it says in chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." These two attributes go hand in hand, for without one you can't have the other, wisdom and understanding. Today's times require one has wisdom and understanding in order to survive. Let us consider today for a few minutes on wisdom. Let us first answer a few facts on wisdom. So the scripture says in James chapter 1 in verse number 5 and in verse number 6, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you all, to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." And you know, we all know what waves being tossed to and fro on the water can do. It can sink your boat. It can cause you to have to swim farther away from shore, cause you to swim, be drifted farther away from shore, and make it tough sometimes for you to get back into the safety zone. So let us find out what wisdom is not. The preacher Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1 and 16, "My heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge." But notice what else he says in chapter 2 and verse number 26. He said, "For God give it to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge. But to the sinner he giveth travail." Travail means pain. Solomon, with all his wisdom and knowledge, knew he was still only, his wisdom was only earthly wisdom and not heavenly wisdom. This is why we need to ask of God for wisdom. Many men have thought they were full of wisdom. They were perhaps very intelligent, but intelligence does not go hand in hand with wisdom. No matter how good one looks, does not mean a person has wisdom. Do you all remember the story of Absalom in the book of 2 Samuel? Well, let me tell you a little bit about him. I've told you about him before, but let me tell you about him, ladies. Ladies, they say this man was so good looking that all of Israel praised him. And all of Israel, there was no one to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty, according to 2 Samuel 14 and verse 25. The best looking man in Israel, he was fine, ladies. He had so much hair that it became heavy at the end of every year. He would cut it off. And it weighed 5 pounds. That's a lot of hair. His death, how he died, showed a lack of wisdom and knowledge, though. His hair got caught up when he went under a tree branch. You might say he did not seem to have the wisdom to know his limitations or the limitations of war and danger. Wisdom gives one the insight into the true nature of things. Knowledge, on the other hand, means to come to know and understand something completely. Absalom did not calculate in his mind that there are other dangers in war rather than just the spear and the arrow and the sword. With us, there is danger in us not seeking wisdom from God, that we may learn to have knowledge on how to use the word. Absalom, with all his beauty and being the king's son, forgot to factor in his own hang-ups, which may cause one to lose sight of God's reality. Wisdom is not philosophy. Great minds have spent many years trying to figure out where we came from, when all they really need to do is seek God's wisdom. Alcohol kills thousands of people every year, while dogs bite only a few people, but yet we kill the dogs and issue license to sell more alcohol. So tell me why that fits into logic, and it does not. That's the mindset of man. His reasoning does not go against God's way much of the time. So I ask you to this morning to examine yourself. When you think you need to pray, when you think you need to go to God in prayer, but you don't know what you need to ask Him for wisdom. Wisdom is a great thing. The meaning of wisdom, it means the ability to make right decisions. For a Christian, it means seeing things from God's point of view. A lost person very rarely is ever considered what God thinks about things. Even some of us that call ourselves Christians fail to see God's counsel in their lives before making some of their decisions. When we examine the text and you look at verse 6, it tells us how we should ask of God. And it tells us to do that in faith. Look at verse 6, if you will, for me. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Faith is one condition of an acceptable prayer. To pray in faith means to pray in trust and have trust in God. Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we must not only believe that God is, but also that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For a Christian, it is seeing and finding God's will in everything we do. This means we need to watch what we say, watch where we go, watch what we do, watch how we act, and we must be on our best behavior, as the Bible teaches us, at all times. The means of wisdom. There's only way to get godly wisdom, and that is what verse number 5 of the text tells us. Verse number 5 of our text tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives us all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You got to ask. If you're stumbling around in the dark and don't know what's going on until you in the light, you need to look for the light. If I ask you, to go to the store and bring me back a Pepsi, don't call me from the store and telling me they got Cokes on sale. I didn't ask for a Coke. I asked for a Pepsi. When we get to where we are lacking in wisdom, we must go to the source to get it. The source is God. Unless one is a fool, he will not despise instructions either. Wisdom comes from experience, but all experiences are not godly. Therefore, they are not always right. I read something the other day that made a lot of sense to me. It may make sense to you too. It said, a wise man learns by the experiences of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience. But a fool learns by nobody's experience. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:13, once again, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. When it comes to asking of God, we must first seek His wisdom that we may know what we are asking for. So we petition Him for wisdom. Why? Because the Bible also tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. We need to allow God's wisdom to override our knowledge. In Proverbs 14 and chapter 33, wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding. Fools have already been warned, but we need to teach them there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end therefore are the ways of death. Christians, on the other hand, should know all ways to seek God's opinion on whatever we seek to do. We should always count up the cost first before we do something. If I ask you to bring me that Pepsi again from the store, and you call me and tell me that they got Coke, you expect me to say, well, okay, get the Coke, but I'm not. I want a Pepsi. If I had wanted a Coke, I would have said, bring me a Coke or a Pepsi. But I said, bring me a Pepsi. The same is true of God. He tells us how he wants things done. He does not mean for us to decide our way is better. Even if it may seem better, it is still not his way. Once again, in Proverbs, we see much about wisdom and understanding recorded. Our text, I feel, would be good for us if we understand it, that when a man lacketh wisdom, he ought to seek it from God. All of us may be found in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse number 7. The writer says, I want you to hear this now. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. If you want to get of God, you've got to ask him for wisdom and understanding when you don't know what you're looking for. I'll tell you to ask for wisdom. When you don't know what you need, but you know you need to pray about something, you need to ask for wisdom. When you get wisdom, you get knowledge. They go hand in hand once again, wisdom and knowledge. And I say to you this morning, the best thing that you can ask for is wisdom. Now, I know some of you this morning are saying to yourself, why are we getting this bad weather? Why are we getting this inclement weather? Why are we getting so much snow? I didn't want any snow. Well, don't mess with the snow. Leave it alone. If you say, I prefer it to be sunshiny all the time. Well, nothing is going to be sunshiny all the time in your life. And you can always take the view that I sometimes take. I didn't put the snow down, so why should I get it up? Yes, that's right. But I tell you something. When the Bible says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, most of us, if we deal with people, we don't like a fool being around us. You don't like a fool being around you because you figure yourself to be sensible and you want people around you to have sensibility too. Isn't that right? But when you got to deal with a fool, that's where a teaching moment comes in at. You can teach this fool something. For the fool has already said in his heart, there is no God. And we know that not to be true because we can see it in each and every time we look out and look out upon the daylight or the sunlight. I'm talking about the God who makes the daylight and the sunlight. I'm talking about the God who is in charge. I'm talking about the God who is ready and willing and able to help you to get through whatever it is you may be going through. And if you need a mountain moved, God is the person to see. If you need the Red Sea, your Red Sea parted, God is the person you need to speak to. God is still in the business of moving mountains. He'll move your mountain. He'll move my mountain. He can part our seas when we're in trouble with the rest of the world. Or when we're in trouble with ourselves, God can help us get out of it. And I tell you something about God. He's always on time. He is never late. You may consider him to be late because he doesn't answer you when you think you ought to be answered, but he's not. God is always willing, ready, and able. Now, I'm not saying he's going to answer you as soon as you ask him something. But if you get asking for wisdom, first of all, wisdom will get you the knowledge and the ability to deal with God's way. God's ways, I should say. And one other thing I might want to tell you is that many folk don't understand stuff. And when they don't understand stuff, you have to be careful. Because they'll mess you up. They will mess you completely up. They'll tell you it's blue skies outside when it's thundering in a rainstorm. And if you don't know the difference how to accept God's wisdom, you need to learn to accept his wisdom. You need to ask him for wisdom. You need to tell him, Lord, I need your wisdom to guide me. And every day and every minute of every life, of every year that you live, you're going to need wisdom. Well, wisdom plays even into the hands of Christians. Some Christians like wisdom too. Yes, he did. Some Christians don't understand that they're supposed to let God handle their problems. That you're supposed to let God work things out for you. You know, God made us all. He didn't make us any differently. He made us to look different, but he made us all with the same components. Eyes, ears, heart, mind, soul. We've all got those, we share those things in common. But if you're ever in a point, at a point in your life when you don't know what you're in need of, you need to ask God for wisdom. If you're ever at a point where you don't understand why the world works the way it does, you need to ask for wisdom. God can give you wisdom to know what's up and what's down and what's right and what's left. Now, I'd give this tip to the married couples. Mister, you're not always going to be right. Contrary to your thoughts, you're not always right. Sometimes the missus is right. And we need to learn to accept that. But ladies, I got something for you too. You're not always right either. But I'll tell you one thing about it. Ladies have what they call logic. And sometimes we as men don't have that kind of logic. If I tell you I know where I'm going and I'll get there, and you say, the woman tells you, but you're supposed to turn left back there 6 blocks ago. And you get 10 blocks up the way and you say, I should have turned left back there. Then all she's going to do is this. That's where you can use your wisdom if you've got wisdom. You can use wisdom to let you understand that God put her there to be your helpmeet. And if she's your helpmeet, what does that mean? Gotta let him help you there, Brother Lowe. And if you let them help you, then you'll get a better understanding and a better feeling for what's going on in your marriage. Now, to those that are not married, I got a little tip for you too. You ought to get married. Thank you. You need to get married. Why do I say that? Because the Lord put man and woman together on this earth. He made them both. He made woman to be that helpmeet. And like I always say, if you like it, you ought to buy it. That's where wisdom comes in at. So you can know when she is the right one. When you can know, ladies, if he is the right one. You know, I tell you, God has a way of working. Let me see if I have enough time. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. When you get into your situations, and I tell you, we all get into situations, sometimes it's best to rely on somebody else's help rather than your own help. See, we can only help ourselves so far. But when you get two heads, they say two heads are better than one. And that generally is true. But if you only have one head you can rely on, that ought to tell you something. I'm talking to the single people right now. You can do it yourself, but it may not come out as good as with two heads, Sister Williamson. But when you ask God for understanding because you like understanding, I mean wisdom because you like wisdom, you'll also get understanding. You ask him for understanding as well. Now, what does that mean? That means simply when you don't know what you need, you don't know what you're in need of, you ask God. He'll grant you wisdom. He gives it to us liberally. But now to a fool, it's a different story. But I'll tell you something. If you ever want to get to heaven, you've got to be in the Bible, in the book, not Facebook, but in the book that I read from up there, the book that you bring and you carry to church with you, the book that's in the pew in front of you, the Bible. And when you look into the Bible, you'll find a whole ton of wisdom, knowledge, and instructions. There's instructions in there on everything. That tells you stories, but it's true. It tells you everything you need to know about life and death and the road to heaven. It explains it very well to you. And I'm so glad today that the Bible is in existence. It wasn't put here just for me, or it wasn't put here just for you. It was put here for all of us to gain wisdom and to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying one thing. Well, three things. Trust in the Lord. And when you trust in the Lord, you'll be a lot better off. See, I can be wrong. You can be wrong. Now, some of you might find that as a surprise that I can be wrong or that you can be wrong, but we all can be wrong. But the Bible is always right. No doubt about it, there's nothing righter than the Bible. God took a bunch of men and women throughout the annals of time, and he gave them the knowledge and the inspiration to write the words of the Bible. And I don't care how many people tell you that man wrote the Bible, but they were inspired men and women. Didn't just know any man, no clown wrote the Bible. It was written by inspired people who was, had the breath of God within them to know what to put down. And the one thing I like about the Bible, it's the world's bestseller. It may be the least read, but it's the world's bestseller. And what do I like? What else do I like about the Bible? It tells us the truth. Like this morning, I talked about wisdom. Some of you didn't know that if you like wisdom, you can ask, you can get it of God by asking. God give it to us. There's no charge. There's no fee for it. Just that you trust in Him when you pray and ask Him for it. You know, they talk about today what you can do with your smartphone. Well, the Bible has always have apps for everything you need. There's always been an app for life. And it's in the Bible. Now, God doesn't have a cell phone, so I can't give you a number to call Him up directly. But He does answer your call when you call upon Him. He may not answer it when you want Him to, but He does answer prayer. Now, His answer might be not right now. It might be okay right now. Or it may be just wait for a while. But God does answer prayers. I just can't tell you when He'll answer your prayer nor mine. One other thing before I take my seat. When you are in trouble, you want one thing. And that one thing is to get out of trouble. And I know somebody might say, well, it was so much fun getting in trouble. But see, the aftermath of that trouble is what bothers us. The consequences. Thank you, Brother Lowe. The consequences of that trouble can be devastating. It has been said that man does not live on bread alone, and we know this. But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So if you want to hear something and hear it right, you listen to God. And that book of instructions that I spoke about a moment ago, the Bible, it's got everything in there that you could ever want to know about life, death, and the path to heaven. It gives instructions on getting to heaven, gives instruction on living on this earth, gives instruction on what you need to do to get there. And I know there are many versions of the Bible. Man has interpreted the Bible to read many different ways. But be careful when you're reading the Bible. Read it prayerfully. I'm going to say that again. Read the Bible prayerfully. Ask God to show you so you can extract His wisdom into you, what's in there for us to know. Now, somebody might say, well, preacher, every time I read the Bible, I get sleepy. Well, close it up and go to sleep and then get back up and open it up again. That's all you got to do in that situation. The devil is going to try to keep you from reading God's word. He's going to put all kind of obstacles in your way. He may tell you, you know, your favorite TV show is on right now. Well, they got a thing now they call a DVR. Tape it and keep on reading. There's so much wisdom and knowledge that can be found in God's word. But we got to ask God to give us some of that wisdom that we may learn to accept and understand some of it. And God is not going to fill your head with wisdom that you don't need. He's not going to give you the wisdom to tell you you got to get up and go to work in the morning. You already know this. Somebody told me one time, I'm going to ask God to go to the boat with me. God doesn't frequent the river boats. But I'll tell you where you can find him at. Right here on a Sunday, you can find him here. I'm going to ask God to give me the winning lottery ticket. Don't count on it. And first thing people will say, God was in the plan. Was he? Get some wisdom, ask God for wisdom, and then you'll know if that was meant for you or not. Or just keep the dollars in your pocket. Well, I guess I've said enough. I put some of you to sleep. I've wakened some of you up. But to the rest of us that heard the message, you know what it was about, wisdom. What you need to ask God for when you don't know what you need. And that's wisdom. Now, as we close, I close by issuing the invitation. Hear the word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. Come to the Lord and be baptized. Or if you've already been baptized, you need to ask God to forgive you of your shortcomings. Come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may grow strong as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.